Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yom al-Arbiya, the 22nd of Sha'ban, 1436, corresponding to Wednesday, the 10th of June, 2015. With your 9 a.m. news on Radio Islam, I am Ahmed Wajah. Making headlines at the hour, the embattled deputy NPA boss back in court and family of suspect in the Ramahai murder case says police got it wrong. Deputy Prosecution's boss Nomkhoba Jeeva's lawyer is expected to address irregularities in her case when she returns to the Commercial Crimes Court today. Jeeva is accused of fraud and perjury for the failed prosecution of KwaZulu-Natal Hawks boss Johan Poisson on charges of racketeering. Police Colonel Boats Botha was fired last month for his role in obtaining the summons for Jeeva to appear in court. Advocate Sola Majawe is expected to call police investigator Norman Tiawe, whom he claims had no part in drafting of the summons served on his client Nomkhoba Jeeva. Majawe told the court last month that there were irregularities in the process and that Tiawe did not consent or was aware of the document being obtained. The mother of one of the men arrested in connection with the murder of Shalat Ramahai is adamant that police have caught the wrong man. Nungisi Twala appeared alongside his accomplice Alex Ngobeni in the Protea Magistrates Court yesterday. The pair allegedly shot and killed the pregnant mother in front of her children outside her daughter's school in Bramfisherville in April. Twala's mother Fikile says she cannot accept that her son has been implicated in such a horrific crime.
Even now, don't touch. I'm not saying the thing that he did, it's fine, but to me, really, it's so shocking, and I'm still not believing the story.
Twala has been implicated in a spate of crimes including the hijacking and murder of an elderly man in Mayfair last month. Mohammed Dasot was forced into the boot of his car where he apparently suffocated. Police are investigating whether Alex Ngobeni is also linked to that hijacking. Former COSATU General Secretary Zwelinzima Mavavi says Tuesday's High Court ruling against NUMSA has severely prejudiced him and is the final nail in the coffin for the bid to return to the Federation. NUMSA approached the High Court in Johannesburg on Tuesday, asking that the union be urgently included in next month's Congress before COSATU's Accreditation Committee meets on Wednesday. The court ruled that NUMSA's application was not urgent. Favi says now that NUMSA's absence at the Special National Congress is guaranteed, it means he won't be able to appeal his dismissal. He has described the court ruling as the beginning of the end of COSATU and says workers should discuss the political implications. COSATU's Acting General Secretary, Pekin Shalin Shali.
Our appeal is that the union in COSATU should be participating in COSATU, we should be building unity, and those who have done something wrong must have an opportunity to correct those wrongdoings. They are known, and I think life goes on. We work hard to ensure that the Federation is united.
The Pentagon on Tuesday added Britain to the list of countries that received live anthrax samples from the U.S. military. Apologize for that. A spokesperson for Britain's Health and Safety Executive says the samples were sent to a company in Britain in 2007. The agency declined to name the company. Molina Mohammed Bam reports.
Besides the lab in Britain, another in Massachusetts was added to the list of laboratories that received live anthrax samples, raising the total number of labs to 68. The British Health and Safety spokesman says the company has informed them it destroyed samples shortly after testing. He says on this basis they do not believe there is any continuing health risk to staff or to the public. Four countries outside the United States are now known to have received live anthrax samples. That is Australia, Canada, South Korea, and Britain. Labs in 19 states and Washington, D.C. also received live samples. Mohammed Baum reporting for Radio Islam.
A master tracker will today join the search for a lion that escaped from the Karoo National Park. It's thought the three-year-old lion got out through a hole in the fence last Friday. The South African National Park's Farouk Ludit says the search will continue this morning with the help of the master tracker. Early on Tuesday, Ludit said trackers had found the lion's spoor, but that the real work is in keeping up with it through the mountains and ravines. In the financial market, the rand trades at 12.44 to the dollar, 19.10 to the pound, and 14.03 to the euro. The Saudi rial is 3 rands, 32 cents. Brent crude oil, $64.87 a barrel. Gold trades at $1,177.11. Mahre Fatimi, 10,731 rand, 60 cents. The Zakat Nisab is 4,292 rand, 64 cents. Salat for Johannesburg, Sawal will set in at 12.07 p.m., Asar 3.47 p.m., Maghrib 5.26 p.m., and Isha at 6.45 p.m. Salat time for Port Elizabeth, Sawal will set in at 12.17 p.m, Asar 3.37 p.m, Maghrib 5.18 p.m, and Isha at 6.44 p.m. To recap your top story, Deputy Prosecution's boss Nomkova Jiba's lawyer is expected to address irregularities in her case when she returns to the Commercial Crimes Court today. From the news desk at Radio Islam International, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Radio Islam, bringing you news from around the world and from your very own doorstep on Medium Wave 1548.
We have three mayat announcements in Alilahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The mayat of Marhuma Wasila Ka will leave from Hillbrow Flat, Block M, Flat Number 9, Corner Turf Avenue and Nicholson Drive, Eldorado Park. Pickup times at 1:30 p.m. Janaza Salah thereafter, proceed into the Lanesia Kabristan. There is a mayat of Marhuma Wasila Ka will leave from Hillbrow Flat, Block M, Flat Number 9, Corner Turf Avenue and Nicholson Drive, Eldorado Park. Pickup times at 1:30 p.m. Janaza Salah thereafter, proceed into the Lanesia Eflan Kabristan. Secondly, we have the mayat of Marhuma Amina Lulat, also known as Goribai, the mother of Muhammad and Ahmed Lulat, will leave from flat number 9, 5 High Road, Fallsburg. Pickup times at 11 a.m. Janaza Salah thereafter, proceeding to the West Park Kabristan. There is a mayat of Marhuma Amina Lulat, also known as Goribai, the mother of Muhammad and Ahmed Lulat, will leave from flat number 9, 5 High Road, Fallsburg. Pickup times at 11 a.m. Janaza Salah thereafter, proceeding to the West Park Kabristan. And thirdly, we have the mayat of Marhum Suleiman Isub Adam Makan, will leave from 24 Maxwell Street, Overton, pickup times at 2 p.m. Janaza Salah thereafter, proceeding to the nuclear Kabristan. There is a mayat of Marhum Suleiman Isub Adam Makan, will leave from 24 Maxwell Street, Overton, pickup times at 2 p.m. Janaza Salah thereafter, proceeding to the nuclear Kabristan. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us and all the marhumin forgiveness and genital firdaus. Ameen. One should recite Surah Ikhlas 3 times for the solid sawab of one's parents and all the marhumin.
Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, light upon light. Allah guides to His light whom He will, and Allah has knowledge of everything.
Ida'atul Islam, ma'akum aynama kuntum.
December 3, Ihram Tour Specials. Juma in all three. Ihram from Aqsa. 5-star hotels in Mecca and Medina. Packages from only 30,900 per person. Book now and qualify for up to 1,000 discount per person. Packages also available. October school holidays, Aqsa in Turkey. From 17,900 per person. Contact Malana Musa Bidat on 011-852-3335 or 011-852-5316.
Is your child rubbing his eyes or complaining of headaches, watery or itchy eyes? Eye care for kids begins at birth. At school, 80% of a child's learning is based on vision. When last has your child had their eyes screened? An eye test examines the internal and external structure of the eyes to coordinate care for hand-eye coordination in preschoolers, glaucoma, cataracts and retinal disorders, diabetes and hypertension. Trade Route Optical for a free vision screening. An excellent investment in your health. Two pairs of glasses for 699 Rand or buy one, get one free on selected frames. Trade Route Optical. Your eyes are our concern. Shop you too next to FNB 852-3937.
Africa.
Have you helped quench the thirst of your Muslim brother? Sponsor a water well for only 9,500 rands in Africa. Or a borehole for just 40,000 rands. Special monthly payments can be arranged. Contact Africa Muslims Agency on 011-834-8685. Africa Muslims Agency, the agency that cares.
Listening every day to An-Nida, the program for contemporary Muslims everywhere. Listening for daily updates on current affairs, explanations on hadith and tafsir, and informative discussions. Tune in to An-Nida, Monday to Friday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
نبينا محمد قد أرسل للعالمين رحمة وفضلا
نبينا محمد قد
أرسل
للعالمين رحمة وفضلا
أبوه عبد الله عبد المطلب وهاشم عبد مناف ينتسب وأمه آملة الزهرية مرضعه حليمة السعدية مولده بمكة الأمينة وفاته بطيبة المدينة
نبينا محمد قد أرسل
للعالمين
رحمة وفضلا
وفضلا
نبينا محمد قد أرسلا
قد أرسلا
للعالمين رحمة وفضلا
وفضلا أتم قبل الوحي أربعين وعمره قد جاوز الستين وسبعة أولاده فمنهم ثلاثة من الذكور تفهم قاسم وعبد الله وهو الطيب وطاهر بذين ذا يلقب أتاه إبراهيم من سريا فأمه مارية القبطية
محمد قد
أرسلا
للعالمين رحمة وفضلا
فضلا
نبينا محمد قد أرسلا
أرسلا
للعالمين رحمة وفضلا
وغير إبراهيم من خديجة هم ستة فخذ بهم وليجا وأربع من الإناث تذكرون ونرد للجميع يذكرون فاطمة الزهراء بعلها علي وابناهما السبطان فضلهم جليل فزينب وبعدها رقية
رقية
وأم كلثوم زكت رضيا
نبينا محمد قد
أرسلا
للعالمين رحمة
وفضلا
فضلا نبينا محمد
قد أرسلا
للعالمين رحمة وفضلا
فضلا عن تسع نسوة وفاة المصطفى خيرن فافترن النبي المقتفى عائشة وحفصة وسودة
طعم غيابي مر وقتي وما عرفت أحسب حسابي أعتذر عن كل لحظة من غيابي مر وقتي وما عرفت أحسب حسابي أسأل الله الأمان والتقيب واتفاني قبل ما يقبل رجايا قبل ما يكبر عذابي قبل ما يكبر عذابي
أعتذر واندم على ذيك الخطية
نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم.
We relate to you their story in truth. They were youths who believed in their Lord and we advanced them in guidance.
Discover the secrets of the cave and understand the world of today.
Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ
through tafsir of Surah Kahf.
An ayah would mean a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Join Mulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi every Wednesday 9 to 10 a.m.
Whoever recited Surah Kahf as it was revealed
on Radio Islam International.
Ye kalame khuda jiske seene mein hai.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
All praise is due to Allah, who has sent down upon His servant the book, and has not made therein any deviance.
قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا.
He has made it straight to warn of severe punishment from him and to give good tidings to the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have a good reward.
مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا,
in which they will remain forever.
وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا,
and to warn those who say, Allah has taken a son.
مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا.
They have no knowledge of it, nor had their fathers. Grave is the word that comes out of their mouths. They speak not except a lie.
فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا.
Then perhaps you would kill yourself through grief over them, O Muhammad, if they do not believe in this message, and out of sorrow.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Indeed, we have made that which is on the earth adornment for it, that we may test them as to which of them is best indeed.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
And indeed, we will make that which is upon it into a barren ground.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or have you thought that the companions of the cave and the inscription were, among our signs, a wonder?
صدق الله العظيم.
عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقال لصاحب القرآن اقرأ وارتق ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأ.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is now 18 minutes past the hours of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bam and I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us in the studio we have is Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners. Maulana, at the onset I think I need to apologize. I'm just not getting the coordination right with the traffic coming here to the lanes to the station. I'm a few minutes late every Wednesday. I hope you don't penalize me for that.
I understand what the road was going on, and maybe it's also with the cold. Well, just a brief recap of what we were doing. We were discussing the commentary. We started with the commentary of Surah Al-Kahf, and we started now with the Surah Al-Kahf itself. In our last discussion that we were explaining, we did the difference between the tasbih and the tahmid, that is the difference between Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah. And in it we mentioned about Subhanallah, that Subhanallah is the manifestation of Allah Himself, and in Alhamdulillah it's an outward manifestation. And we also discussed that in Subhanallah we see that in Surah Bani Israel, Allah called Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Mi'raj. Allah brought Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into the seven heavens. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is best to express the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Alhamdulillah, it is praising Allah for what Allah does for us. That's an outward manifestation. And a person has to become close to Allah before he can make others close by teaching them the book. Thereafter, we also explain that ila, the difference between ila and ala is in this surah it comes, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi, not ila abdihi. And we say that the difference is that when we say something, ila, towards something, to something, it's a privilege specifically given to that person. But Allah shows a responsibility, and here it is that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the responsibility to carry the message. Thereafter we started with the words nazala, anzala and nazala. We can carry on with that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Marana, as you have rightly said, that Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi implies responsibility, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the responsibility of the application of the message and its conveyance. And therefore this was a responsibility on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to apply the message and the conveyance of the message, which is the Deen and the Quran Kareem. We continue. Excuse me. The word has many meanings. We're talking of the word anzala. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. The word anzala has many meanings under different circumstances. And this is also something, if you understand the vastness of the Arabic language, and we've been speaking about this continuously, we understand the beauty of this language, and in the choice of words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen, Allah was not short of using any word, but nothing in the grand scheme of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coincidental. Everything is willful. And when Allah uses certain vocabulary, there was a definite purpose and reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen a particular word. And it sometimes brings about amazing interest and amazing meanings when you look at the root of the various vocabulary of the Quran Kareem and the words that Allah has chosen, and you get to understand the subtlety that is implied by the use of such words. The word anzala could mean to descend, to come down. When water trickles down slowly and gently, it is also used. When the land is good for cultivation, meaning the water will actually be able to trickle through the earth and down through the soil. In other words, it will benefit the land. The land is soft enough for the water to descend into it. The earth is ready to receive the gift of water. This is one amazing meaning that we can take from the word anzala, that when water trickles down, when the land becomes good for cultivation, and the water will actually be able to trickle through the earth and down through the soil, the land becomes soft enough for the water to descend into it, and the earth is ready to receive the gift of water. Similarly, if our hearts are softened, and our hearts are soft, and we look at this Quran Kareem as a means of softening our hearts, then, and most certainly, the Quran Kareem does soften the hearts. And if our hearts are softened with the recital of the Quran, then it becomes very much easy for us to get an understanding and a reflection on the Quran Kareem. This is one of the meanings that can be taken from the word anzala. Another very amazing meaning and a subtlety from this word is that nazala is also used for food prepared for a guest. When you prepare some food for a guest, it has to do with hospitality and taking care of a guest. Nazala is used when you prepare food for a guest, and definitely, when you prepare food, there is an aspect of hospitality, there is an aspect of taking care for a guest. A guest himself sometimes is called by this word. He is called this because back in the days, when people used to visit, they would show up riding on an animal that he comes off and descends. So therefore, a guest descends off his animal and descends into your home. Then he sits down. Then you put the food down before him. To lodge or give asylum, this is another meaning of the word nazala. Now if you look at all these words, the comprehensive implication of this word, the comprehensive implication of the word Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala, we are speaking of the word anzala, gives this gift. Allah gave this gift that descended. The Quran is a guest in the heart and in the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Its original and permanent home is elsewhere in Lawh-e Mahfuz, the sacred tablet. But it has been brought down as a gift and a guest to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being honored by a special guest. This important guest can choose anywhere to stay. And people fight about wanting him to go visit their houses. So whosoever house he comes to, the guest is not as thankful to the host. But the host is thanking the guest. Thank you for choosing our home. That's what happens. So we have to be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the host for this Quran to be his guest, to come and descend onto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore we are saying alhamdulillah, praise and gratitude to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this guest to reside in the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anzala ala abdihi. Now you understand the beauty of this word, anzala ala abdihi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are actually thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Quran Kareem, which is a speech of Allah, resides elsewhere in Lawh-e Mahfuz. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this Quran Kareem to reside in the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And like how a guest appears and we show hospitality and we show thankfulness and gratefulness to our guest, similarly, the host here is showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we as followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam express our gratitude and our thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for that outward manifestation that Allah chose Rasulullah and the heart of Rasulullah, the bosom of Rasulullah, the chest of Rasulullah to be the residing place for his kalam. And now if you look at the word anzala ala abdihi, it definitely will give us an amazing, totally different aspect of reading this Quran and reciting this Quran and reflecting on this word anzala will give us that greater appreciation of the Quran Kareem. Abdihi al-kitab. The word abd literally means servant. Or rather slave. Now why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why this slave? Why in the middle of Arabia? Why in the middle of the desert? You had the Roman Empire, who have a history in advancement, in philosophy. You have other empires, the Persian empires were poetic people. Why not a messenger among them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Quraysh, in fact the Quraysh said, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. The Quraysh used to say in Surah Zukhruf, verse number 31, why was this Quran not revealed on a great man from either of the two towns? Why on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. How come no celebrity from the two towns, meaning Makkah and Taif, who have a lot of really hot celebrities, why weren't they chosen and made prophets? The towns, Al-Qaryatayn means Makkah and Taif, they had great chiefs, which the Quraysh showed great honor and respect. And to them, they were great celebrities. Why was Rasulullah chosen? Why was the Quran sent upon Rasulullah? And therefore the Quraysh said, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. And then we have the other empires, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire. Why was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam chosen as the slave to be the host? And the guest, that is the Quran, decided to reside in the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You also had at that time these Jews who have a history of prophets, and they were waiting for a prophet. Why not just give them one? The Quraysh were not waiting for or welcoming a prophet. They had no idea of a prophet coming to them. The Jews, on the other hand, were anxious. They were anticipating a prophet. The Jews were actually waiting for a prophet and were making dua for one. The Jews used to lose in battle to the Quraysh, and they used to say, our prophet is right around the corner, and when he comes, we are going to get back at you. You may have beat us now, but he is coming. Now, these were the anticipation of the Jews whenever they used to have an argument or a battle with the Quraysh. Their response to them was that, okay, you got us now, but very soon our prophet is coming and then we will show you, we will get back at you. So you have the Roman Empire that were in tremendous advance in philosophy. You had the Persian Empire that were known for their poetic advancement, their poetic intellect. You also had the Quraysh, who did not really want someone as a prophet. They were not even anticipating a prophet. In fact, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, they also said, but why him? I mean, why not one of the celebrities from our two towns between Makkah and Taif? Then we have the Jews that were also anticipating a prophet. They were making dua for a prophet. So why not them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And then there came to them a book from Allah. This is in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 89. And then there came to them a book from Allah, which confirms what was with them. While earlier they used to seek help against those who disbelieved, yet when there came to them that which they did recognize, they denied it. So the curse of Allah is upon the disbelievers. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. Yet when there came to them that which they did recognize, they denied it. When what they know exactly came, they just denied and rejected it. So why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah chose? Allah chooses who He chooses. This is the first principle that we need to understand. Allahu yastafi min al-malaika rusula. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Allah chooses messengers from angels and from men. Surely Allah is all hearing, Allah is all seeing. Allah has His own discretion in choosing which angels should be messengers and which human beings should be messengers. One very interesting place in the Quran where Allah gives us a rationale and a reason for why Rasulullah was chosen. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدْ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. In Surah Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had there been a son for the Rahman, I would have been the first to worship. This ayah is supposed to be a philosophical mystery. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدْ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. A literal, plain and simple translation of this ayah would suggest that say, if Ar-Rahman, that means Allah had a son, then I'm the first to worship. Awwalul Abidin actually means that of all creation that has ever worshipped, I am superior to all of them. That's what it would mean. All human beings, angels, jinn, that have ever worshipped anyone or anything, nobody has done more worship and was more superior in his worship than myself. I am the most supreme worshipper of all. This sounds like a statement of pride. Because in this ayah, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدْ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. If Allah had a son, I would have been the first to worship. Here it means that from all the creation that has ever worshipped, I am the most superior of all of them, of all human beings, of all angels, of all jinn, that have ever worshipped anyone or anything. Nobody has done more worship and was more superior in his worship than myself. I am the most supreme worshipper of all. This sounds like a statement of pride. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say it on his own. This is again another subtlety of the Quran. Allah did not let Rasulullah say it on his own. But Allah had to tell him, قُلْ. Allah had to tell him, say. And in had to tell him and order him to say it. And therefore Rasulullah was so much of a worshipper, he could have never said it himself. Therefore Allah said, قُلْ, say to them. Had there been a son for a Rahman. And therefore, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. The point is, Allah chose the most qualified of all His slaves to be His slave. And this ayah establishes this fact. If you look at this ayah, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدٌ, this ayah outwardly would mean, and sometimes people would misunderstand and misrepresent it, that this ayah has a sense of pride in Rasulullah. But firstly, let's understand that Allah commanded him to say this, which also establishes that in the eyes of Allah, there could not be anyone more greater in worship than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point is, Allah chose the most qualified of all his slaves to be his slave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the epitome of what it means to be a slave of Allah. Let's look at the word slave from here on as a slave. We will try to define it. The word slave will be defined by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to what is meant to be a slave of the only and true master of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, we are talking of the word that Allah chose, abd. And we also then are answering a question, why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The first answer that we have given in is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has commanded, instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that ayah, that Allah chose the best. In Allah's eyes, there was no one greater in worship than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ana awwalul abidin. And Rasulullah will define the word and what is meant to be a true slave of the only and true master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the word slave, which was considered a derogatory term in the days when the Quran was revealed, in the days where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, in that environment, the word abd was not regarded as a word or a title that was used for someone of honor. Because in those days, slavery was the norm. And the word slave was something that was derogatory. Yet Allah chose to use the word abd. Now, there must be some wisdom in this. Once it was used for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to describe the closest relationship he can have and one to bring him close to his Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word abd in order to describe and in order to express the closeness of Allah's Rasul, meaning Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There could not have been a better word. Again, we're talking about the vastness of the Arabic language. We're talking of the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not coincidental. Allah chose the word abd to describe how close Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to his master Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let's explain this. A abd, a slave, is always at the service of his master. A constant servant that will be the first to hear the master's request. The relationship is also very close. Nobody will be closer to Allah than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is telling the Prophet to challenge them to see if they can do more worship than the Prophet before saying anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if you are going to say something about Allah, then check yourself. Who are you talking to? I'm the first of anyone to know. You are in no position to speak anything about Allah. You are going to say, Ar-Rahman has a son. Who are you? What qualifications do you have to claim that Rahman has a son? When you understand, Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب, all praise and gratitude belongs to Allah who sent down upon His slave, because the purpose was not to teach philosophy, it was not to teach, you know, arguments. The purpose was to demonstrate to us what it means to be a servant of Allah. So the purpose of Rasulullah was not to teach philosophy, but the purpose of Rasulullah was to explain with practical demonstration what it means to be a servant. These are the last letters from Allah to humanity, the Quran Kareem. The Quran Kareem is the last speech of Allah to humanity. The last communication could not have been taken in theory only without any practical demonstration and practical explanations of these communications from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the speech of Allah, and that is the Quran. And the word Abd also describes the importance of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because a person has to demonstrate what it means to be a servant of Allah. And the only best word that describes this form of demonstration is the word Abd. And from this word Abd, we also establish the authenticity of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had to be demonstrated, the Quran, the speech of Allah had to be demonstrated. When a person internalized this book, then truly he became a abd, a true slave of the master. This is all tied together. How the book had to be given to the ultimate abd. How this Quran had to be given to the ultimate servant. And therefore we say, Alhamdulillah, all praise and gratitude belongs to Allah, who sent the book down as an incredible gift, allowing it to remain as a guest inside the chest of his ultimate slave. This is now the, you know, the one was, we just translated the ayah, Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi alkitab, all praise is due to Allah who sent down his book to his servant. Now if you understand this by the words that we have just, you know, expanded a little bit on, it brings a total new dimension to the translation. And the translation now would be, all praise and gratitude belongs to Allah who sent down the book as an incredible gift, anzala, incredible gift. Also from the word anzala, allowing it to remain as a gift, as a guest, inside the chest, abd, of his ultimate slave. Now why is he the ultimate slave? Why is Rasulullah the ultimate slave? The closer you are to your master, the more of a slave you are. The more at the service of your master you are, the more of a slave you are. If a slave lives 100 miles away, then he is not under constant instruction. If you have a servant or you have someone that's working for you, and if he's far away, 100 miles away from you, he is not under constant instruction. But a slave that lives right there with you is in constant instruction. In Surah Al-Isra, the slave was in the immediate company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he gained that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will become more of a slave other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the only privileged person that was able to be there. He was the only privileged creation that gained the benefit of coming so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the occasion of Mi'raj. The greatest honor given to the Prophet is actually not messenger, but abd, slave. When he was closest to Allah in Isra, he was described as Subhanalladhi Asra bi Abdihi. Glorious is he who made his servant travel by night from Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And here, the book, when it is being given to Rasulullah in Surah Kahf, because in Surah Isra, Rasulullah went up, he gained the proximity of Allah, he gained the closeness to Allah, thus he was given the title of Abd on the occasion of Mi'raj. And here in Surah Kahf, when the Kitab and the Quran is being given to him, ala abdihi, alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala al abdi, the perfection of Allah's bounty on him is expressed by using the word abd. When Allah gave us the honor of calling ourselves abd and allows us the opportunity to try at least to be a abd, this is the greatest honor that a human being can receive in their life. إِتْمَامُ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِإِسْتِعْمَالِ كَلِمَةِ الْعَبْدِ. When Allah gave us the honor of calling us also abd and allows us the opportunity to try to at least be a servant, a abd, this is the greatest honor that a human being can receive in their life. The ultimate rizq and the ultimate benevolence of Allah and the ultimate provision of Allah in this life is to actually accept a life of Allah's servant and Allah's abd. If this can be internalized, there can be no greater gift or provision from Allah. And therefore we say all praise and gratitude belongs to Allah who sent down upon his slave, because the purpose was not to teach philosophy or arguments. The purpose was to demonstrate to us what is meant to be an abd and what is meant to be a servant of Allah. If only we can become ordinary servants of Allah. I've said this, what I've said now, for a special reason, Maulana. And I'll repeat it again so that we understand. Or rather, let me just say what I want to say and then come back to it. If only today, each one of us can just become ordinary servants of Allah. Just ordinary, normal servants of Allah. Just to become ordinary. Half of our differences in this world will be solved. Each one wants to have the title. Each one wants to have the position. Each one wants to show he is someone. But the problem is each one of us, and unfortunately, the more we think we know, the more greater we want to be, and the more greater we expect people to treat us. The little bit that we know, which is nothing in comparison to the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we just show a little bit of piety on us, which is nothing in comparison to the piety of Rasulullah, we want people to recognize us as someone. And then we want certain titles with us. And this is one of the greatest problems that we have, if we can just become ordinary servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's understand, just to be an ordinary slave of Allah, this is the highest title. Let's forget all the titles of Hazrat and everything else that we wish to be called by. The greatest title is Abd, slave. And this is the ultimate title. When Allah gave us the honor of calling ourselves Abd and allows us the opportunity to try to at least be a Abd, this is the greatest honor that a human being can receive in their life. This is the ultimate title, the ultimate provision, the ultimate benevolence in this life, is to actually accept a life as Allah's abd, as Allah's servant. If this can be internalized, there can be no greater ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore I say, if we only we can become ordinary servants of Allah, ordinary normal servants of Allah, just become ordinary, half of our differences and problems in this world will be solved. But the problem is each one of us, and unfortunately, the more we think we know, the more greater we want to be, and the more greater titles we expect people to treat us with. Just to be an ordinary slave of Allah is the ultimate. This is the highest title. Let's forget all the titles that we wish to be called by, and just become ordinary servants of Allah. In this is also the lesson that in the times that we are living in, the test and the trial and the challenge of knowledge and authority, and we will come to that. And therefore from the first instance, from the first ayah of this Surah Kahf, which is a means of protecting ourselves from the fitna of Dajjal and the fitna of the trends that will emerge before the actual emergence of Dajjal, is significantly mentioned in the first few words of the Quran Kareem in this surah. The gratitude belongs only to Allah. Praise belongs only to Allah. And then the Quran Kareem is something that if you stick to the Quran Kareem, inshallah you will be saved from all the trials and challenges that you will be faced, especially in the times that we are living in. And then the trial of knowledge and the trial of authority is understood by the use of the word abd. And from the beginning we need to keep this in mind and be conscious of this fact, that as long as you remain an ordinary servant of Allah, inshallah you will be saved from the fitna and the trends that we are facing today. The trend of, you know, divisions. Divisions come how? It comes when someone decides that I know it all, or my view is the view. And that is totally opposite from the concept of abdiyah. It is totally opposite of the concept of abd. And that is the first lesson that we learn here.
See, Moana, the next word that we have after abd, we went quite in detail on abd, then we have is the word kitab. What is the relationship between abd and kitab?
Jimon, the relationship between abd and kitab. In this ayah, alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. We spoke about abd, we spoke about the humility of Rasulullah, and we also spoke of the various meanings that come out from the word abd. Kitab, let's first understand the relationship between these two, abd and kitab, we need to understand the meaning of the word kitab. Firstly, we do know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not lettered. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ. You, O Prophet, have never been reciting any book before this. This is in Surah An-Kabut, ayah number 48, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you, O Muhammad, you, O Prophet, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ, have never been reciting any book before this. وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ, nor have you been writing it with your right hand. It also tells you that writing with the right hand is preferred, because Allah said this in the Quran. Nor have you been writing it with your right hand. وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ. Had it been so, the adherence of falsehood would have raised doubts. That means that had you been able to recite and read, or had you been able to write, then the people to whom you are showing this Quran and reading the Quran and conveying the message of the Quran, meaning the adherence of falsehood, إذا الارتاب المبتلون, they would have raised doubts. And you did not read any kind of literature before this, nor were you able to write with your hand. Allah chose a particular slave, Abd, who does not know how to read, or who does not know how to write. And Allah decides to give him Kitab, which is by definition only a benefit to someone who can read and write. A person that doesn't know how to read, a person that doesn't know how to write, if you give him a gift as something that needs to be written or that's written or that needs to be read, then how can that person actually appreciate that book, that gift? The contrast between his abd and kitab is very glaring here. And therefore we need to understand this relationship. In modern times, what is someone's credential? Their education, their degrees, and we spoke about that just now, about all the titles. In modern times, someone's credential, their education, especially if they are teaching you a book, if they are your teacher, they have to be qualified. Allah chose someone who will not only learn his book, but also be the ultimate teacher of his book. Allah chooses someone who does not know how to read and write. This suggests that Allah's prerequisite for great teaching are different from our prerequisites. Today, in order for someone to be qualified as a teacher, you want his CV. And you want to know what he has studied. Yet, we find that here Allah chose someone that has no knowledge of how to read and write. So, this suggests that Allah's prerequisite for great teaching are different from our prerequisites. Ours are very shallow. The knowledge and the ability to read and write the information and getting higher credentials and education, all of that is on the surface. Having big degrees, having all this education is only on the surface. Allah's credential is totally opposite of that. What really matters to Allah is that the person be in ultimate servitude of Allah. He has to be that sincere servant of Allah, a slave of Allah. He was, Rasulullah was the ultimate abd, and that is his final and greatest qualification. Now that's the first thing that we need to understand in this meaning of the word abd. Maulana, you want us to continue, or do we don't have enough time and we can come back to this? All although right. This is going to be our last discussion before Ramadan, so maybe we should just conclude here and we'll come back to this discussion, because this is a lengthy discussion in itself.
See, I think we will go over time if we carry on with the kitab, and I think we should rather just cut it off here, and then we'll start again from the difference of the relationship between abd and kitab.
Yes, I had hoped to complete the first ayah but we haven't even completed the first ayah. But we're coming to the end of it. But this in itself shows us the interesting lessons that we can draw from the Quran al-Karim.
Oh, definitely. The Quran is so vast. I mean, just taking the meanings of this, of the ayat, we see how long it takes us just to understand, and how great we understand just the meaning just by looking at the top of it.
Yes.
But when we really go into it, we see how much the words that Allah has chosen, how much deeper meaning there is to it, Marana, also.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi to our listeners. We are coming to the end of our program before Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan, we will not be here. We request all our listeners to make special dua for us here at the radio, and especially for me, that Allah give me the sincerity in what we try to do. And Allah increase us in our knowledge. And Allah increase us in beneficial knowledge, that we ourselves can benefit from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all our listeners a wonderful Ramadan, a blessed Ramadan. It is a month of the Quran Kareem. Renew your relationship with the Quran. Just before we break, Marana, when we hear the word Ramadan, the first thoughts that come to our mind is fasting. What we have to prepare for iftar, we have to prepare all our savouries. We also talk about fasting. But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Ramadan in the Quran only once. Only once in the entire Quran Allah spoke about the word Ramadan. Shahru Ramadan alladhi, and then Allah linked the Ramadan with Quran. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. So Allah connected Ramadan with the Quran. Yes, fasting is obligatory in Ramadan. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. But there Allah did not make mention that in Ramadan. There Allah only said that fasting has become obligatory upon you so that you may gain taqwa. But the Quran al-Kareem has a special connection with Ramadan, and therefore when Allah spoke of Ramadan only once in the Quran, Allah connected it with the revelation of the Quran al-Kareem. So one way is that during the fasting, physically we may become weak, but spiritually let's become strong by the Quran al-Kareem. And this is a means by which we encourage our listeners to renew their connection with the Quran al-Kareem, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
JazakAllah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll continue with the same topic after the month of Ramadan. It brings to us to the end of today's program. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Baam, and my engineer, Ziad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.